First Peter chapter 5 this evening for one verse for our reading. It's really a familiar verse. We probably have it nearly memorized. We've heard it so many times. Maybe the young people haven't heard it as often as we have as older ones, but it's one of those verses that we probably cling to from time to time. We hang on to it because it's a verse of encouragement. It speaks about the God of all grace. The God of all grace. Doesn't that sound good? I think they sang about that. Always with us. Even in the tossing billows or something, I think it said. The songwriter said. The God of all grace. Let's take a few moments this evening and look at this particular verse. Would you bow your head with me for prayer? Lord, thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you for the hope that we have in you, the promise of your sufficient grace. I pray that you would give us the anointing that is needed in this part of the service. My weakness, that your strength would be made real. My inability, that you would speak through and to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." I think it's understood that there's seasons in life. Seasons would indicate that life is cyclical. The things that we have and deal with are cyclical. And sometimes we like to use that passage of Scripture that really never found its way into Scripture, "This too shall pass." We like that. We like to use that. I like to think about that, but it's not really found in those words in Scripture. But the principle of it is there. That seasons of life come and go. Seasons where we may feel hesitant, or perhaps a season where we feel discouraged. Maybe something is taking place and there's a discouraged season that is taking place, or an uncertain time. We're wondering about the future. Young people face that so often. Maybe we do as well in our adult lives, but there's the uncertainty of the future, but it's all cyclical. There's things that take place, and it comes and goes. And we'll find that this particular verse that Peter is writing, does that mean the storm's getting closer? I really wanted you all home by 9 o'clock tonight, so. Is that what that is? Is that a weather alarm? Is it getting close? Are we okay? Nobody's answering, so let's just go on. We'll go to the basement if we need to. Peter was writing these words to people, believers, who had hardships. You can find that in the previous verses, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Be cautious, be alert, be sober, because you have an enemy that's out there to destroy you, trying to find some little crack in your armor to get into. There's something that may be happening. Peter's writing to people that have problems, people just like you and me who may face some hardships from time to time, face some opposition from time to time, but we must notice that in this verse, Peter does not say they will never suffer. But what he does say is that they will suffer a while. A while. Maybe we should stop and take a look at that a while. What does that mean, a while? Well, that phrase is really full of hope. That phrase provides us with a certainty that trial is not permanent. Say, oh, well, wait a minute, preacher. The trial that I've been going through has lasted for years. It's still not permanent. The battle that you're facing may seem to be difficult and long, but it's not permanent. Peter is writing to people and telling them that they may be suffering, there may be some difficult days, but it's only for a while. I believe that Paul the Apostle wrote something along that line as well. For a time, for a season, for just a moment, these light afflictions that we have. The burden is not forever. The storm has an appointed end. What seems to be overwhelming today is only a chapter in the book of your life, not the entirety of the story. Too many times we get bogged down in the present chapter, in the midst of those difficult chapters, and think that this is the end, this is the final chapter, when in reality it's just a part of, it's just a chapter in the book. Peter, first of all, the first phrase that he uses in this verse, he's wanting to remind us at the very beginning of this verse who it is that is in control. Did you notice that? But the God of all grace. You see, that three-letter word but tells us that there's something previous, there's something before, and he's getting to something that he's wanting yet to say, and he's using that word as a pivotal point to get us to focus on who it is that's in control. But the God of all grace. Let me explain that. Not that you're too simple to understand it, but let me try to explain it to you. The God of all grace. That's a cliche for me. I've read that verse, I've read that phrase so many times. I wonder how many times I've read that verse. I don't know that I can count it. I wouldn't even begin to have a number to put on how many times I've read that verse. The God of all grace. And then I can just go on and I can move past it. I can go on with the rest of the chapter, with the rest of the book, and the rest of the New Testament, and never really understand what he's saying when he says the God of all grace. Because I don't need all grace right now. You don't need all grace right now. So when he's saying the God of all grace, he's saying whatever grace it is that you need, God has a storehouse of that particular grace. Grace for weakness. Grace for sorrow. Grace for temptation. Grace for endurance. Grace for tomorrow. Whatever tomorrow holds. Did you see that? You don't need all of those different facets of grace right now, but he has a storehouse of grace sufficient for your need now as well as your need for tomorrow, whatever it might be. He told Paul the Apostle that his grace was sufficient. Even while suffering, even while in the midst of the battle or the encumbrance of that thorn in the flesh that was limiting him, that was holding him back, and the very thing that you are struggling with or will struggle with, God has sufficient grace when you need it for that. The storehouse of his grace, God of all grace. You see, the bottom line is simple, that God never runs out of what his children need. God never runs out of what his children need. Not only do we have the promise that his grace is sufficient and it's all grace for every need and for every trial and for every problem or for whatever it is that you're dealing with and facing, God has the sufficiency of grace, but we also find that there are four promises in this passage, in this one verse. There are four promises that God will do for you, for me, even in the midst of suffering. In other words, that when you face some difficult path, when you face some difficult trial, that God will redeem it with these four, one of these four promises, or maybe all of them. All of them working together. What do What are these promises, you say? Well, God uses these four promises for his purpose. He will, first of all, it says he will perfect you. He will perfect you. That word perfect there is speaking about a completion of his work in you. It's also speaking about a maturity in you, where he is growing you and he is performing his work in you to make you perfect, he said. Wow, Lord. Why do I have to go through all of this in order to be perfected? Well, I believe that he's saying that we have to suffer a while so that he can perfect us. In other words, or in some way, we have to understand that we will not reach the fullness of the potential that God has for us unless we do suffer a while. The second promise that we find in this verse, not only to perfect us, but to establish us. To establish you. He will make you firm when everything around seems to be unstable. I think there was something about that in a song that we sang. All around is sinking sand. Wow. Not sang. I think that may be the one she played or the orchestra played. Stable. He wants to make us firm. He wants to establish us. He wants us to be able to be realized, to be able to experience the solid rock upon which he provides us a foundation. Because he realizes, God knows that the ground around us is unstable. He wants to perfect you. He wants to establish you. The third thing you can see in that verse is that he wants to strengthen you. He wants to strengthen you. When I was a teenager, it's probably been around a lot longer than that, but I remember the kids at school, in the public school that I attended, it was on the gym wall, it was on the weightlifting or the weight room wall, no pain, no gain. Now, I wasn't a weightlifter. The best weights that I had was bales of hay. And that sort of thing, and yes, I suppose that's probably the best weightlifting that a person can do because, those farm boys were pretty tough. I didn't do it often enough, I'm sure. But when it says that he will strengthen you, suffer a while, make you strengthened. That would kind of indicate, that would have a subtle idea wrapped up in there that this suffering, this struggle that is for a while is going to increase our strength because of the effort that is put forward. No pain, no gain. Spiritual battles are way different than physical battles, really. Spiritual battles are so much more difficult to deal with because they're unseen. It's not flesh and blood that you fight against. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But when we're talking about this suffering, he's wanting to strengthen us. The hope that we have in there, the promise that we find in there is that God will use it to strengthen us if we but allow him to. If we simply yield ourselves to his purpose and his plan. Perfect you, establish you, strengthen you, and then finally he gives us that promise that he wants to settle you. He wants to settle you. He wants to give you a deep confidence. He wants to provide for you inside of you a deep peace in him. A sense of reliance on him. I was reading in Hebrews this morning in Hebrews speaks about the rest that comes to the children of God. And that's intriguing to me. I always like to read that portion of Hebrews speaking about the rest, because I know that until we find our rest in Him, there's a spiritual struggle going on. But when that struggle against His control, or that struggle against His will, that struggle that is pushing against what He is calling for in my life or in your life, when that struggle is done, when that struggle is over, there's a rest that comes to the children of God. I don't think that we can emphasize the reality of that rest and the difference of that rest from the struggle that is taking place. He's wanting to settle you, give you a peace in Him, a confidence in Him. The trial may shake your circumstances. And this is easier to say from this vantage point than it is to live it out in life, but I believe that it's valuable for us to get a hold of, that the trial may shake your circumstances, but it does not have to shake your faith. It doesn't have to shake your faith. That's what the enemy wants to do. That's the purpose that may come into the play of that trial from the enemy of our soul. He wants to shake our faith or your faith, but it doesn't have to when we're standing and resting on Him. Because the same God who called you is the same God who keep you. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. And you can use that verse in a number of different facets, number of different directions. He that calleth you is faithful to do it. So if your heart is heavy today, or maybe you're remembering some suffering that you've had, or perhaps that suffering is yet to come, whatever the trouble is, your suffering is only for a while. It's only for a period of time. But His glory is eternal. You say, well, you just brought in the word glory, preacher. What does that have to do with anything? Well, the very next verse says, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. How does that fit? It simply fits by the reality that everything about our lives is to bring Him glory. And when we rest in Him, when He is able to perfect us and establish us and strengthen us and settle us, that's bringing glory unto Him. To Him be glory forever and ever. So what do? We keep praying, we keep trusting, we keep walking, knowing that He, the God of all grace, is faithful to perform what is necessary in my yielded life as the potter shapes the clay. The one who brought you this far will give you the grace to go the rest of the way. To Him be glory forever. Let's stand together tonight. Praise God. Trust you have a good week this week. Blessed by the Lord. Share the gospel message. Share your testimony with someone. Ye are my witnesses, He said. Let's share it with somebody this week. The good news of the gospel, how it's changed your life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Ken Macy, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight?